Good morning, and we're finishing up this morning our three-part series on Haggai, and I'm really excited about it. And as I do a review of the last 2 weeks, I'd just like you to, in the back of your mind, begin thinking about things that are contagious and things that aren't contagious, because I'm going to ask you for some things that you think are contagious and some things you think aren't contagious. But first, I'm going to start by reviewing what we have done in the book of Haggai. And I started 2 weeks ago, and I talked about the fact that the people were back now in the promised land, and they were really totally focused on themselves, and God was saying to them, the time is right to build the temple, and they were saying the time isn't right to build the temple, and they were focused on themselves and what was going on, and God said to them, give careful thought to your ways. He said to them, you're not paying any attention to me, and I'm not the focus of your life. You are. How's it going for you guys? And the answer was, it wasn't. It was a disaster. And he says to them, go up the mountain, bring down the timber, and build my temple. Do what I've asked you to do. Get your focus on me. So that's the first thing. And then last week, Les talked about the fact that they were 2 months on in their project, and they were getting very discouraged. And the problem was that they were focused on the project. And as far as they were concerned, they couldn't see any value in the project, which was building the temple, because this temple did not compare to the previous temple. And so things were beginning to get a little bit difficult. And God told them in Haggai 2:5, he says, this is what I covenant with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. And God told them once again to focus on him. Get your focus off of what the project is. It doesn't matter how you perceive the project, whether you perceive its value or worth. It is what I have asked you to do, and you need to do it. And you can do it because I have a covenant relationship with you. And last week, Les talked about the difference between a contract and a covenant, and a contract works out the details to end the situation in which you're contracting, and a covenant is unending. And God says, I've made an unending covenant with you. I will keep it. And he said, my spirit is with you. And he says, you don't need to fear because I am with you. And so he reminded them to get their focus back on him. So they'd started out, they'd taken their focus off themselves, and they'd started to build the temple. But then their focus got on the project and instead of on God. And God said, get your focus back on me. And if you do, things will go well, because from my perspective, God says, from my perspective, this temple is going to be greater than the other. The glory of the present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And we talked that even in the first week about the fact that God's name in the book of Haggai is the Lord Almighty. God is saying, it doesn't matter what you think about this temple that you're building. I am the Lord Almighty, and I can make it better than you can ever hope for or imagine. And that's what I intend to do. So just keep on persevering. And this morning we're going to come to a little bit farther on in Haggai 2, and we're going to be in the ninth month. So we've been in the sixth month, the seventh month, and now we're going to be in the ninth month. So let's just pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you how it speaks to each one of our lives in a very powerful way. I pray, Father, this morning as we look at your word, that we will see where you want us to be, what you want us to be doing, but I pray most especially that it will help us to keep our focus totally on you, because when our focus is right, the rest of our life falls into place. And I just thank you for Jesus, who makes our relationship with you possible. In his name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to read from Haggai chapter 2, verses 10 to 19. On the 24th day of the ninth month in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Ask the priests what the law says. If someone carries consecrated meat in the fold of his garment, and that fold touches some bread or stew, some wine, olive oil, or other food, does it become consecrated? The priest answered, no. Then Haggai said, if a person defiled by contact with a dead body touches one of the things, does it become defiled? Yes, the priest replied, it becomes defiled. Then Haggai said, so it is with this people and this nation in my sight, declares the Lord. Whatever they do and whatever they offer there is defiled. Now give careful thought to this from this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on the temple, in the Lord's temple. When everyone came to a heap of a measure of 20 stones, there were only 10. When anyone went to a wine vat to draw wine, there was only 50. There was only 20. I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, hail, yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. From this day on, from this 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to the Lord, to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. Is there yet any seed left in the barn until now? The vine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive trees have not borne fruit. From this day on, I will bless you. And so I want you to tell me today what's contagious. Anybody got any ideas? So what things are contagious? Measles are contagious. Yes, lots in the news lately about measles and how very contagious they are. What else is contagious? Attitudes. Very good answer. Yeah, attitudes. What else is contagious? What, Greg? Yawning. Yes, absolutely. Yes. Yes, it is. Yes. Okay, so now I want you to give me some things that aren't contagious. What's not contagious? How about broken legs? Broken legs aren't contagious. Broken hearts aren't contagious. That's right. What else isn't contagious? Yeah, allergies aren't contagious. That's right. Well, this morning, God says in his word that righteousness is not contagious. He says, if someone carries some consecrated meat in the folds of their garment and it touches something else, does the thing it touched become consecrated? Does it become holy? And the priest's answer and God's answer is no. And then he tries it the other way around and he says, so if someone who is defiled comes in contact with things that are holy, do they become defiled? And the answer is yes. And so this morning, God is saying to us, don't be deceived. Righteousness is not contagious, but sin is. And we need to see that. Because what had happened is the people had got their focus on God in the beginning of chapter 1. God had called them to the fact that they needed to do that. And we saw that they got sidetracked by focusing on the project in chapter 2. And this time, the problem is they are focused on the finish line. They think when that temple is built, because the temple is built and it's holy and it's honoring to God, that all of their problems are going to be solved. They've got their focus on the finish line, thinking that the goal will give them righteousness. That the doing what you're told will make you righteous. Getting to the end will make you righteous. And God says, that's not what makes you righteous. You've got to get your focus back on me. Because that's what's going to make you righteous. Choosing to walk with me each and every day. Focusing on me and what I want you to do. Because if your focus is instead of on today with walking with God, and it's on the finish line of something that God has asked you to do, you will not be able to finish that project because your focus will be, you will get sidetracked as you focus on the finish line. Because how God wants you to get that temple built, whatever the project is, you need a daily walk with him to figure that out. You can't focus on the finish line. Because when you do, you've got your focus wrong. And God is saying to the people once again, he's saying to them, so it is with these people and this nation in my sight. Whatever they do and whatever they offer is defiled. He's saying, if your focus is not on me, if your walk is not with me, if your relationship with me is not right, then what you do doesn't matter. I don't know about you, but I'm quite good at doing what God asks me to do, but I often do it with a wrong heart attitude. I don't know whether any of you are in that spot, but I have been there. And for a long time, I thought, as long as I'm doing it, even if my heart attitude isn't right, I'm okay. That's pretty good. I'm doing what I'm told, but inside I am not happy. I am rebellious. I am, anyways, lots of things going on inside that you can't see outside. But outside, it looks like I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing what God called me to do. God called me up really short on that. He said, Marjorie, get your heart attitude with me right. Get your attitude right before you do what I ask. It's your relationship with me is what matters. You're not saved by works. I don't love you anymore because you do what I tell you to do today. I love you because I love you and because of who I am and because of the relationship you have with me. And God said to me, get your heart attitude right and then do what I tell you to do. And so it's very easy when we get our focus wrong or when we think what we're doing is what's going to make us righteous, that we get into trouble. You can say, well, I know, I understand that I'm made righteous by what Jesus did for me on the cross, and I can't lose my salvation, and he will be with me every day, and that's absolutely, absolutely true. But when our relationship is askew, I'm married to Les. I've been married to him for 48 years, almost 49 years. Yeah, he's nodding his head in the back. I think we agree. I know most wives know the answer to that question. I'm not one of them. And I know that he loves me. And I know that I can do things and he'll still love me. But when our relationship is not right, it's not great. It's not fun. We need to keep a right relationship with God. And how we keep a right relationship with God is to keep our focus on him. And when he asks us to do something and our heart attitude is really horrible, and it's not something we really want to do, we need to take the time to go to God and say, I've heard what you've asked me to do. I don't really want to do that. But I know that that's what you're calling me to do. And I need to work through with you, Lord, till my heart attitude is right. Until my attitude and my focus is where your focus is. And so the people here were building that temple. They were doing what they were told, but they were focused. Their focus was totally wrong, because what was going to make them right and holy, and what was going to encourage them to see things change in their world was not their actions. It was their relationship with Him. And so God says to them, get your focus off the finish line, which is the temple. Yes, it will be holy. Yes, it will be dedicated to Me, but it will not make you righteous. You need a relationship with Me and a focus on Me in order to be righteous. And so that's what we need to do. And then He kind of gave them a little bit of a process about this thing. And He says, once again, I think from this Haggai, one of the things that will stay with me for a long time is the concept of giving careful thought. He says over and over again, give careful thought. So He says to them, give careful thought to before you began this project. Consider how things were before one stone was laid upon another in the Lord's temple. And we all know that this was 17 years before. Give careful thought to what it was like 17 years before. This is a long process we're talking about. What was it like? Well, we know they had just been back in the land 2 years. Things probably weren't good. There probably wasn't much food. They probably hadn't finished building their houses. Things were probably pretty bad. And then He reminds them to give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. So that had been 17 years before. And things still weren't very good. And then He said, give careful thought to now. So they've been 3 months building the temple. And He said, is there yet seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. And then God says, but change is starting. From this day on, I will bless you. I've dealt with your focus issues. You finally are going to get your focus on Me, on what I want you to do. And when you do that, I am going to bless you. Now, I want you to say this morning that I don't believe in a prosperity gospel. So I don't believe that if you do everything right that God asks you to do, that you are going to be a millionaire. That everything you do or touch will turn to gold. You'll be Midas. That's not what I mean. But I believe fully and completely that when we choose to walk with God, He has promised to meet all our needs from His riches and glory. And I believe that He will meet all our needs from our riches and glory. Haggai is written under the Old Covenant, and there was definitely under the Old Covenant the concept that if the people walked with God, He would materially bless them, bless the nation, bless the individuals in the nation. And when they chose not to walk with Him and took their focus off Him, He withheld those blessings in an effort to turn them back to Himself. And I believe under the new covenant that God still continues to bless us materially in that He meets all of our needs from His riches and glory. But He does not promise to give us everything under the sun. If you look at the Apostle Paul, he committed his life to the Lord. He chose to walk with the Lord. And he talks about what it was like. He talks about the hardships and the persecution. And he said, I've learned to be content whether I have enough to eat or whether I don't. Whether I'm in prison or whether I'm not. Whether I'm shipwrecked or whether I'm not. God was meeting Paul's needs wherever he was, and Paul could see that. And so I think he does meet our material needs in the way in which he sees it. But more importantly, when God blesses us, He meets our needs spiritually. And that's really where we need to meet Him and where we really want Him to bless us. The people in Haggai's time had no peace, no joy, no contentment. They were unhappy. In fact, I'm just going to read back to chapter 1 and verse 6. You have planted much but harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink but never have your fill. You put on clothes but you are not warm. You earn wages but only to put them in a purse with holes in it. There was no contentment in their lives. There was no peace. There was no joy. Life was a drudge every single day. But when they got their focus back on God, and when we get our focus back on God, we have contentment. We have peace. We have joy. God promises that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, kindness, self-control, faithfulness. The blessings aren't always material. And if you ask me which I would choose the spiritual blessings. You can do without a lot of material goods if you have peace with God. And material things do not restore that peace with Him. And so God promises to bless them. Have they got that blessing yet in this passage that we're looking at this morning? No. It takes a while to plant seeds and see them grow. They won't have any of the material blessings. But from the day they get their focus right, when they finally get it, that it's all about a relationship with Him, they will have those spiritual blessings immediately. And that's true for each one of us. When we keep our focus right and keep our focus on God, we will have those spiritual blessings. We will have joy in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of pain, and in the midst of suffering. We will have peace when our world around us is in chaos. We will be content with where God has planted us. We did a retreat a few years ago, a women's retreat, and we talked about blooming where God has planted you. And you can only bloom if you're content. It might not be where you envisioned you would be or where you would like to be, but if it's where God tells you to be, then you will bloom where you are if you keep your focus on Him and don't allow anything to distract that focus. And so this morning, as I looked at this passage, I've spent a long time in the book of Haggai. It's two chapters. I can practically quote it from memory. I thought, what's the application? Just an over-application of the book. And Craig Rochelle, who is a speaker I listen to quite often, has a saying that says, choose the hard right over the easy wrong. And so just as that concept of sin is contagious and righteousness isn't, sin is easy and righteousness isn't. Choosing what is right is often harder than choosing what is wrong. And that is, by the way, an illusion. Because eventually that is not true. But the illusion is that choosing wrong is fine, it doesn't have any consequences, everything will be great, I'll be happier. I mean, we wouldn't do things that were wrong if we somehow in our brain didn't think that it would make us happier or it would be easier for us or better. There has to be a motivation when we choose wrong. And sometimes when we look at what God tells us to do and it's tough, we say, it's tough. God couldn't ask me to do that. That's really tough. It's really tough. And really, you know, God, it's supposed to be easy. God never told us it was going to be easy. Choose the hard right over the easy wrong. Focus on God. And sometimes it's so easy to focus on ourselves. And you say to me, you don't know where I am right now. You don't know what's going on in my world. Do you know how hard it is to take my mind off the pain that's in my body? Yeah, I do. I know how tough it is when you're in pain to focus on God and not on the pain. Do you know how hard it is to, when I'm really hurting and I don't see God, how can you tell me to keep my focus on Him? That tub of ice cream in the fridge will make me feel much better than spending time in God's Word. It's an illusion, but initially, and I know that good endorphins come from chocolate, but I'm just telling you the tub of ice cream in the fridge is not really the solution. The solution really is God. You can tell what my solution when I'm in difficult situations is, right? It's my illustration, tub of ice cream in the fridge. That's why I don't keep ice cream in the fridge, actually. We need to keep our focus on God. And we need to do it in God's way and in God's timing. We talked a couple of weeks ago about the time is right. And sometimes the time is not right. You need to make sure that whatever you're doing is in God's timing. And I have to say that I talked a couple of weeks ago about the fact that some things the time is always right for. And I want to reiterate that. It is always the right time to accept God's free gift of grace through Jesus Christ. If you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the day is now is the time. Today is the day. And I talked about the fact that we need to use our spiritual gifts. God wants us to be using them. Now is the time. We need to deal with forgiving people we have not forgiven. Now is the time. We need to deal with any root of bitterness in our lives today. Not tomorrow, not week, next week, today. And we need to begin the process of mending broken relationships. And we need to begin that process today. The time is always right for those. But there are other things in our lives that sometimes the time is right and sometimes the time is not right. And you need to spend that time with God because His timing is right and our timing isn't. And I'm going to give you a strange illustration for that. But the final one is trust God with the results. Because the people were having trouble seeing that the temple they were building, which did not compare to the old temple, was of any value. Leave the results of what God asks you to do and what He's using you for and doing in your life to God. The results belong to God. And my illustration this morning is my daughter Christine is a teacher. And she's finishing up her contract. A couple of weeks ago, the school board put out job applications so you could apply for things for September. And Christine knew she wasn't high enough on the supply on the list because it is simply those jobs are simply allocated based on seniority. And so we were talking about it, and she said, I've applied to a bunch of them, but God is in control, and I know that He has something for me at some point, and I'm willing to wait for God's timing. So last Monday, they started handing out the jobs, and she didn't get any phone calls. And she called us on Wednesday and said, I have some good news. She said, the principal has told me that they have penciled my name in beside a job for September. There are lots of ifs, ands, and buts, but he's penciled my name in for that job. And Christine said, I'm really excited, I'm really thankful, and so were we. But it wasn't a sure thing. And Thursday night, we were going to bed. This really reflects badly on me, by the way. Les and I were praying, and we were praying for Christine, and Les prayed that Christine would know on Friday. So this is Thursday night. Friday is the last day of school. There are no kids in the school. Last day of school, he prayed, and he said, Lord, it would be really nice if Christine could know for sure that she had a job in September. And I thought, really? There's no way that she's going to know she has a job. Like, tomorrow's the last day. They're not handing out jobs on the last day. They've done all that. It's, you know, kind of like, really? That's a silly prayer. You know, ever do that? Ever say that? Wow, didn't reflect well on me. At noon yesterday, on Friday, at noon on Friday, Christine got a call on her phone while she was at work, and she has a job for September. Confirmed. I was willing to wait for God's timing. I was thinking God's timing was the fall. And Christine was willing to trust God for whatever he had in store for her because she felt that it would be the very best. But Les had a vision that God could answer now. And he did, and he answered. But the reality was it was his timing. Were we praying that he would answer? Absolutely. But it's the point of this message is, the point of that story is, we need to do it God's way, in God's timing, and trust the results to God. And he will do immeasurably more than we can hope for or imagine if we just keep our focus on him. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you that for these people, you began to bless them when they couldn't see it. You said, just keep your focus on me. Don't focus on yourself. Don't focus on the project. Don't focus on the finish line. Just focus on me. And that's what we need to do, Father, each and every day. And I pray that we will be able to do that. That we will not get distracted. Not get distracted by the things around us. By the advice others might give us. By anything else, but that we will just focus on you, do what you tell us to do, and trust you with the results, whether we see what we think we should see, whether it's what we really think we should be doing. I pray that we will just trust you with the results, knowing that you love us more than any person or thing, anything. In all creation, you love us that much, and you have what is best for us. Help us to keep that focus, Lord, our focus on you and our trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.